The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
The other fixture is Liverpool, which obviously they have the benefit of it not actually being a proper away game. Obviously, it's not at Anfield, but it's at a neutral venue. And a lot of talk yesterday from Klopp. Do you think Liverpool are going to go through on these two legs, or are you one of those people who are sensing the end of the season for them?
No, I think they're going to go through. I think they actually played well against Leicester on Saturday, and that's kind of been missed, I think, in the spectacular comeback win by Leicester, that Liverpool were actually quite good for a lot of the game. Like, the narrative in this is going to be Nagelsmann against Jurgen Klopp, the gegenpress duo coming together. Who can gegenpress hardest? Whoever will be able to do that is probably going to win tonight. But, God, it's exciting listening to Graham talk about Pedri there and getting the opportunity to watch him over the next couple of legs. It's just brilliant. And, like, I mean, it's one of those things that surely gives Barcelona fans just a little glimmer of hope in what has been a very grim 12 months or so.
Well, it's the only hope they have. I think that's the point about the finances are so dire. And we'll tease this out with Graham in a moment. The finances are so dire that most clubs around the world with the financial situation that Barcelona find themselves in would be facing, you know, the outcomes are not good. They're everything from going bust to being relegated, perhaps, to financial fair play implications, all that kind of stuff. Because you actually have superstar kids, there's a possibility you might just be able to get away with it. You might just be able to get out the other side with everything intact. You might still be able to be competitive because the youth system has given you these. And maybe that will prevent them from having a long period of dark ages at Barcelona. And we'll get back to Graham, I think. Graham's with us there. Yeah, Graham. So, yeah, I don't know if you heard any of that. So I guess my point about the money is that it has been so badly mismanaged that, you know, you look at AC Milan, you look at the period it's taken them to get back to the top. You look at even Inter have been away from the top table for a long period of time. Is there a possibility that the finances are so bad that it's these kids or nothing for Barcelona for the next half decade?
It'll be hard to retain Messi, let alone sign new footballers. The financial crisis is absolutely atrocious. None of us know accurately. You can make predictive models, but how difficult it's going to remain based upon when fans are allowed to come in, when fans are allowed to go around the museum at Camp Nou, which yields them 26 million a year. There are so many imponderables that the best model to look forward to is that Barcelona will have to reschedule lots of their debt, both short and mid-term. But look, this isn't a financial analysis program. Your point about, you use the phrase dark ages. I think financially that's entirely feasible. There are presidential elections. If the voters get it wrong, there's one of the three candidates standing who's atrocious and mustn't be allowed in, would make things worse. So, first of all, your point about Barcelona needing to rely on kids that they didn't count on is perforce true. The thing that's really interesting is that if you go back to when I think Europe began to pay attention properly to Barcelona for the first time since Ronaldinho was in his pomp, that was in 2009 when Guardiola was changing things. He rescued Busquets and Pedro, both of whom became World Cup winners, both of whom within about a year of being started by Barcelona's first team under Pep Guardiola started a World Cup final, both of them. Each of them were being released. Each of them was being chased out of the club because the people who are called assessors at their various age group level thought, well, they've done okay so far, but they're not for us. That's Busquets and Pedro. And Guardiola went, no. So this idea about beauty being in the eye of the beholder is, in football, is true. You can build up certain skill sets and understandings of how a club wants a game to be played, but it takes the brave person to say, they've got the special thing, and lots of people don't see it. And therefore, I'm casting forward from the Busquets and Pedro example to people like Araujo and Mingueza and Elias Moriba, and there are others coming through who have got possibilities. But the most pungent case, if I can use that word, is Ricky Puig. Ricky Puig looks like he's still about 16. He's effervescent. He's a little bit, people misjudge him because he's so full of beans in life that there are a lot of people around the club that mistaken that for ego or for self-regard, when in fact all he wants to do is play. Physically, he's got some problems, but he needs some gym work to be able to be elite. But his movement of the ball, his first time passing, the percentage of the times he receives the ball and shifts it into space or to a player's feet, and the way in which Barcelona's play accelerates when he's on the ball, means that he's now amongst this clutch of five or six that I've mentioned, which include two exceptional footballers in Ansu and Pedri, meaning that Barcelona don't simply have the ability to look and say, well, we might not need to spend. Suddenly, they've got six or seven players who can make them competitive too, Jerry, and that's the key thing, because it looked as if the dark ages would mean that they, that you referred to, would mean that they wouldn't be able to be properly competitive domestically or in Europe for a significant amount of time.
We just lost you when you were mid-flow on Pedri there, Graham. I just want to go back just for one more question, because we've got a new documentary on Ronald Koeman coming out over this week, I think. It's in the Dutch language, but it's been quickly translated, and there's a scene where he's in a taxi going to training and he's being told about Pedri, and there was a suggestion that he's the new Laudrup or the new Iniesta. So the hype was around this guy, and he seems to be delivering on this incredible hype, Graham, which is almost as impressive as his incredible talents.
Yeah, look, you're right in what you report, that these comparisons are being made. I don't think they're useful, because you're not only simply comparing an 18-year-old to two of the all-time legends, but Pedri is different. He's not Iniesta. There are elements of Xavi's passing game about him. And while you can never really expect an 18-year-old to reach those heights, because there are so many obstacles for any footballer, not least injury, that I think the comparisons, and I'm not trying to be defensive of Pedri and saying they won't help him, for those who haven't watched him yet but are watching Off the Ball AM, go and look at this footballer, because he'll bring you joy. You'll see football played in a way which is uplifting. You'll be off your seat, off your couch, going, yes, that's the right thing to do. That's amazing. Oh, he's done it again. What I'll be really interested in is a comparison with Phil Foden, because it's really clear that Manchester City have got a little machine of a footballer there who does clever things, simple things, does things that project his team forward, has begun to add goal scoring to his game. He's been taught by Guardiola. And therefore, in terms of yardsticks, although Foden is more experienced and a little bit older than Pedri, there are huge similarities in their style of play. And that means when I speak to you, I never speak on a parochial basis. You've got a pan-European view. We've got two really exceptional, exciting footballers that will bring you to, if you can't travel, if there's a pandemic, if you can't afford to go to City, if you can't afford to go to Camp Nou, that will bring you to your television screen over and over again. And one of the things that I think is really important is that there's a sense of renewal. As we come towards the end of two brilliant, brilliant careers in Cristiano and Messi, not there yet, but we're evidently in the autumn, to see not just new players, but players of utterly exceptional talent coming through, I just find that exciting. And Pedri's a gem. And I would be saying that if he was playing for Doncaster, Rangers, Botafogo, it doesn't matter. He's utterly off the scale exciting.
Yeah, a reason alone to watch tonight, I think it's fair to say, Graham. It's interesting that you've picked Phil Foden for comparison there, because we did want to talk to you a little bit about Pep Guardiola. And in the aftermath of their great win against Spurs on Saturday, he said that we don't have players who can win the game by himself. We don't have a Messi, a Cristiano, Mbappe or Neymar. We have to do it as a team. And I wonder, Graham, if you think that there's just an extra level of satisfaction about Pep Guardiola this season, where he's seen his best player get injured and he's thought to himself, this is going to get the very best out of me as a manager.
I think you're right. I think he's refreshed. If you go back to the Carabao Cup final against Chelsea, that was one, the Kepa incident that was won on penalties. After that, anybody who knows him will tell you that he was utterly exhausted, that it was one of the rare times that he didn't want to jump out of bed and get to training the next morning. I think, personally, that we're seeing a different Pep Guardiola now. They've gone through what was a spell in abeyance in terms of physically. They were low in terms of just mental energy. I thought across the squad there was a little bit of a dip last season, partly to do with their exertions before, partly to do with knowing that Liverpool had their number. That's changed. I think that there are other circumstances than simply Pep bringing the best out of himself because of the absence of stars. For example, I don't believe that City are one of those clubs, much though we all want fans back, that is most brutally affected by not having fans there. I think that in these pandemic times, once the stories are told, once football teams, squads, personnel come through this, we all come through this, the backstory will be people will start to tell you about how much they suffered, how much they were fearful, how much they were fearful for their families, how much they found the sprint finishes across Europe last summer when the leagues were restarted, the short pre-season, this deluge of football. Players will tell you how much they've suffered, more than they're saying now. And when Manchester City use the ball so efficiently, keep the ball, expend energy more intelligently, I think that has helped them bob up and become elite again, because that's the way they're constructed. Which goes back to your point. It's not simply Pep reacting to adverse circumstances. It's the systems and the ideas, the playing philosophy that he put in place from the moment he joined Manchester City that are yielding extra dividends now. And I find them very exciting too, because I think your point is clearly, Gundogan is just the simple shining example. When players have been missing because of injury, Aguero or De Bruyne are the key ones. Sterling has kept his beat. Gundogan has shone. Stones has shone. Players have responded, though, and I think it isn't simply Pep. I think that around the elite footballers who've been absent for one reason or another, Manchester City's players have begun to enjoy themselves again. I think that's a key word.
I mean, it's evident from the way that they're playing as well. Like, it's funny how that's a reflection, and it is reflected in the. And I often wonder which comes first. You know, that like when they were being beaten by Leicester, they didn't look like they were enjoying themselves, but they turned that around pretty quickly. So, obviously, the underlying conditions at training must have been pretty good, and I guess that comes from having a manager who is cresting back to the peak of his powers again.
Since we've begun talking about Pep Guardiola, I don't know whether I've got it across, but I've tried to convince that players need to be engaged with him. They need to understand. They need to want to play that way. He's demanding. He can be a complete pain in the arse. It's not a simple brand of football to play, and therefore you need to engage, and then you need to begin to enjoy the benefits. Those conditions ebb and flow. There were points at which he was under a deluge of criticism at Bayern Munich by people who didn't fancy it anymore. In his final season at Football Club Barcelona, his primary lieutenants were getting rollickings from him. He was falling out with Dani Alves. He gave stick to Puyol and to Piqué, and really kind of the squad and the manager lost their way. That will happen. I think there were elements of that last season, and it's temporary burnout. And therefore, what I fully believe we're seeing is a happier, more engaged, more committed since the new contract got out of the way, Pep Guardiola, and his pupils singing again, the orchestra's in tune. And you can see that they're enjoying it on match days. We don't get access to this training ground. But there is absolutely irrefutable evidence that if any Pep Guardiola team is playing as harmoniously as City are right now, as flawlessly, as remorselessly, that doesn't come because big match temperament. It comes because things are right on the training ground. That's a harder thing to achieve with multimillionaires and players who hear the same message day in, day out, non-stop from an intense guy. That's really hard to achieve. And therefore, kudos to Guardiola. And it makes them, in my view, for the first time, given how weakly they went out against Lyon, I think for the first time, they can be proper candidates to win the Champions League.
But that was the kind of other aspect of all this, Owen, I guess, that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I think, Graham, this is like going to be possibly the angriest Champions League knockout phase we've ever seen. So many people have a point to prove, whether it is Pep Guardiola getting over the line with Manchester City and getting their Champions League, whether it's Cristiano Ronaldo saying to Real Madrid, I can win a Champions League without you, whether it's Barcelona, for the reasons that you've just said, Paris Saint-Germain, similar to Manchester City, and Liverpool probably want to right the wrongs of the domestic season as well, which all points to the fact that Bayern Munich are going to run away with this thing, and it's going to be a very boring conclusion altogether.
You kind of forgotten Atleti,
true,
who are sick to death of losing finals against Real Madrid. If you ask Cholo Simeone right now what happens when he hears the Champions League music, match in, match out, he says, I feel pain. They may not be outstanding candidates in the field that you've mentioned, but they must be dark horses. Suarez isn't a player who tends to score very many away goals in the Champions League anymore. That's a problem. But domestically, he's flourishing from having a team around him that really knows how to play. And they are an actually angry bunch, Atleti. So add them to your queue of teams. And I'd throw in Bayern Munich too, because you talked about procession. I think you did it provocatively. But even though they're world champions now, and even though everybody's patting each other on the back, 4 or 5 weeks ago, they were playing atrociously, really atrociously. And in my view, they are a product of a system. They're a terrific squad. They're terrifically physically fit. And they're playing in a way that Flick has drilled them. Are they individually absolutely outstanding? No, there's a clutch of players who are outstanding. Does that mean that they're guaranteed to win the Champions League? I don't see it that way. I definitely seen this being more competitive than last season's was. And whether it's angry or artful, bring on more Champions League, as far as I'm concerned. Can't wait for tonight at Camp Nou. And whatever Leo Messi chooses to do, i.e. whether he renews or whether he's the architect of knocking Paris Saint-Germain out, I really don't want, call me a little bit sentimental, I don't want Leo Messi's last Champions League game for Football Club Barcelona to be in an empty stadium in a cold February night against anybody, never mind whether it's PSG or not. So if PSG knock him out, I hope he renews and plays again, because the Camp Nou, not just Messi, the Camp Nou deserves to say thanks and cheerio, maestro, but not like it'll be tonight.
Tell me, what do you think will happen tonight?
If you'd asked me 9-10 weeks ago, I wouldn't have had a doubt that full strength PSG probably win both games. Now, I don't think it's as simple as that. At the back, Barcelona have problems in that BK might play, but he's been out for weeks and weeks. He decided not to have an operation on a meniscus problem, and therefore it's a huge risk if he does play, but he's pretty much back. He's training right now as we speak. Araujo is out. These are real problems. Barcelona are competitive, though. They play really attractively. Their bench is suddenly strong. When Puig comes off the bench, when Trincao comes off the bench, even Brathwaite's aggressive running. The 11 will be Pedri, Busquets, De Jong in midfield with Griezmann, Dembele and Messi up front. The back four is up for grabs, depending on whether Piqué makes it or not. And frankly, with Neymar out and Paris Saint-Germain, if you watch the game against Nice at the weekend, they had their work cut out. Often domestic football and a big team reacting to a Champions League night, there are no similarities. But Barcelona are competitive again. And if they can keep this score tight, whether it's a draw, a single goal win, single goal defeat, they'll go to Paris probably with more key players in good nick again. And that means we'll have a beautiful second leg tie. It's competitive is what I'll say to you. And if Messi and Dembele and Pedri go crazy and establish a win, then Pochettino's return to his beloved Barcelona. I interviewed him recently and he said, it's like the positive energy of fate drawing me back to a city that I love. Well, that's true. And he's welcome back. He's a fantastic manager. But he's got a tougher tie than he would have imagined when he was looking at it 6, 7, 8 weeks ago.
Well, it's game on. Graham, great stuff. You've certainly whet the appetite. Thanks a million.
Cheers, fellas.
Graham Hunter there giving us some thoughts ahead of tonight's Champions League game involving Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain. We'll talk about the Liverpool game a little bit later on with Phil as well at 8:50 this morning.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.